Ooh. That is a good cup of coffee. Wow. Good morning, world, and all who inhabit it. First, I gotta say, I'm very, very sorry that I've been lagging on my podcast. Man, it's been over a month, and I'm so sorry. I need to do better. Hopefully I can. I'm gonna try to put a new episode out every Sunday because I have every Sunday off, but still, I do deeply apologize. If you can hear in the background, there is a theme song for this TV show that is playing, and it is the topic of today's podcast. Probably, I'm gonna say this is my top TV show. This is my number one TV show. And I know I've said that before. You know, if you listen to the Parks and Recs episode, Supernatural. First off, if you know me in general, you know that I'm a big movie buff, I'm big into TV, and I'm big into music. That's what I do. That's what I like. But this show just tops everything right now, especially because it has recently come to an end, and I have been waiting to make this episode until it ended. Sorry, my face got itchy if you heard that little scratchy scratch. But yes, this show recently just came to an end, for a sad reason, if I'm being 100% honest, or not a sad, but maybe an upsetting reason. And it might make me sound really ugly, but it is what it is. So today's episode is about a show called Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Love this show. It is a comedy, it's about crime, and it is all around just an amazing show. This show first started in 2013. It's run a total of 8 seasons since then, and it is fantastic. It's about a police precinct in Brooklyn, and the first episode is about them getting a brand new captain and dealing with the dynamics of this captain while also looking into their personal lives, looking into their professional lives, and how they mesh well. Alright, so we're going to take a deep dive into each character and each side character that has always meant so much to me. I have to start with the character of Jake Peralta, who is played by Andy Samberg. First off, Andy Samberg is an executive producer of the show, which has always made me happy. Andy Samberg is one of my favorite actors, if I'm being 100% honest. He was on Saturday Night Live. Everybody knows from my past episode that I used to really want to be on that show. He's part of the Lonely Island, which is a comedy music group. He has been in a lot of movies, but this show is what, I guess, sorry, that was my knuckles, is what drew me closer to him as a person. He's an amazing writer as far as comedy goes. He's an amazing actor as far as comedy goes. All around, he's a really cool guy, at least from what I've seen. I don't obviously know him, but he seems pretty down to earth. He seems just like a legit nice guy. And now we're going to take a deep dive into his character, because I usually compare myself to his character. So Jake Peralta is one of the best detectives in this precinct, the 99th precinct of New York City. And he loves solving puzzles, which is this way he says crimes. He loves watching movies, TV shows. He likes being in touch with current pop culture, which I've always enjoyed. And he's just a really good guy. Like, he, throughout the show, you know, spoiler alerts, I'm sorry, I forgot to say this, mega, mega spoiler alerts for anybody who hasn't really seen this show. And I think another reason why I'm saying this is because there are a lot of people, or there are some people that I know who don't really want to watch the show because it deals with, I guess, like, current event type of issues, so to speak. This last season, actually, kind of, it hurt to see that it was the last season and to see why it was the last season. they decided to cancel the show after this 8th season because of the political issues that are being dealt with cops. There are sometimes when cops... No, not even. I'm not even going to get into that. But it got canceled because of those, because of the political issues that are dealt with police force, especially in today's society. That's why the show got canceled. It makes me upset that it got canceled for that kind of reason, but at the same time, it's like, what can I do? You know, I'm just a guy from San Antonio. Getting back to it. I see a lot of myself in the character Jake Peralta. One, I love to do puzzles. I've loved doing puzzles since I've had leukemia. I love to do puzzles now. Two, I love watching movies. I love being in touch with pop culture. I make sure that I am in tune with updates in cinema, updates in music. You know, every Friday, I know that new music comes out on iTunes. Every Tuesday, new movies come out on iTunes. And then I look for trailers every now and then. I look for interviews with some of my favorite actors, actresses, everything like that. And that's what I get from Jake Peralta. With that being said, he also just likes being, not being funny, but having fun. And again, being a cop, you know, sometimes can be a little stressful. Throughout this series, he's come through some really hard times. There was a time when he had to go, what is the word? I can't think of the word. Okay, so there was a time when he was in jail. He was wrongly accused with his partner, Rosa Diaz, for a crime that another police officer had committed. But she backstabbed or stabbed them in the back, and then they ended up being the ones going to prison for it, whatever. And after that, when he came back from it, you know, he wanted to jump back into being a cop and, you know, arresting bad guys and stuff like that. But then he started feeling like the guy that he had arrested was innocent. Turns out the guy wasn't innocent, and Jake Peralta made the decision to see a police shrink, I think is the partial right word, in order to help him with that mental dilemma. And, you know, that's looking at it, I never thought of it like that. I never seen anything like that before, especially with police force. Another one, what is it called? Eyewitness Protection Program. That. Okay, so in another season, he had to move to Florida for Witness Protection Program, or Protection Program, whatever you want to call it. And while he was there, he was still trying to solve the case that he had been put into the Protection Program for. And again, just seeing him go through that was intense. He loves the movie Die Hard. He likes making up fake names when he has to go undercover. He's just an all-around good character. He has good morals when it comes to policing. He has good detective skills. He's a good sleuth, so to speak. He's just an all-around... His characterization is just really good, and Andy Samberg played it amazingly. So, Jake Peralta, you're my hero. You're one of my heroes, I'm sorry. And if I were to become a detective, I would want to turn out like you. You're really just amazing. We're going to jump into the next character. This character is an important part of the show because it started out about him. We're going to talk about Captain Raymond Holt. He became the new captain of the 99th Precinct in the first episode, and him and Jake Peralta butted heads a lot because Captain Holt is very stern. He's very prominent, I want to say is the right word. He's very uniform, if that makes sense. And Jake Peralta's kind of lackadaisical, you know, is kind of like, just let me do what I need to do and I'll get it done. But as the show progressed, you see their relationship form into kind of like a father and son type bond. And I've always liked that. I respected it. Captain Raymond Holt came out as a gay captain. And, you know, just seeing the way I can't think of the actor's name. I'm so sorry. Give me one second. I have it on IMDb as well. Seeing Andre Brower characterize Raymond Holt the way he did was fantastic, you know? The character of Captain Raymond Holt became a police officer, I think in the 70s, maybe the 60s. And he was kind of judged for being black, and then he was extremely judged for being gay, for being openly gay. And throughout the series, you see him kind of come to terms with both of those and how injustice in those two forms is hurting. But like I said, his characterization is just really good. He's very stern, he's very uniform, he wants everything to be clean, top shape, all that stuff. And again, he kind of helps mold Jake into just being a better detective, and I like that about Captain Raymond Holt. Granted, Jake Peralta is my favorite character, but, you know, like I said, molding him, and the last conversation between him and Jake Peralta honestly brought some tears to my eyes, because it was very touching, it was very moving, and it was just a nice little scene. One of my favorite things about Captain Raymond Holt is that he has a corgi named Cheddar. And there's an episode, well, we'll get to that later, but he has a corgi named Cheddar. Like I said, he's just a really good character. He talks, you know, very, not robotically, but very military, to where it's like, get this done now. He doesn't really smile, so they sometimes make fun of him for it, but there have been little moments here and there where he breaks that wall, and he gets really excited, or he acts, you know, a little more flamboyant than usual, and then it's just like, whoa, like, didn't expect that from Captain Holt. And it's just, like I said, his characterization is really good, and the way the creators and writers made his character just was awesome. Okay, next we're gonna go into, honestly, a character slash actress that, what are they called? Is a celebrity crush of mine. We're gonna talk about Amy Santiago. And she is played by Melissa Fumero. She's a Latina police officer, and her and Jake's relationship, watching that growth, I guess, has kind of brought hope into my life about being in a relationship. Her and Jake didn't really butt heads, but they just wanted to prove to each other and to themselves that through their difficult times, they can be a good detective. Jake Peralta's difficult times was that his father was never really there. It was always him and his mom, so he just felt like he needed to put bad guys away because he felt like his dad was a bad guy. Throughout the series, though, you find out that his dad starts to want to learn and want to be better at being a father. Amy Santiago's character, she grew up with five older brothers, and if you watch the series, there's one brother who just kind of always one-ups her. So she's always wanted to prove to herself that she can do better than him. She's very organized. She's very nerdy, and I like that. You know, she gets excited about binders and organization, and it's just really funny. And then, you know, like I said before, big spoiler alerts, but as hers and Jake Peralta's relationships as partners, as co-detectives, progresses, they end up getting into a relationship, and then they end up getting married, and then they end up having a kid. And like I said, just watching that character development between the two of them was enticing, because you look at some TV shows nowadays and you see these couples, and then there's always like a downhill moment, and sometimes they don't really rise up to it, they just kind of break up. And then it goes on for a few seasons, and then they get back together. Shout out to New Girl, because that's what happens in New Girl. But there are some relationships where, throughout the hard times, they just kind of talk it out, and they get better. And that's what I really loved about the relationship of Jake Peralta and Amy Santiago. She played her character really well. At one point, her husband actually was a guest star. She had a child during a season, which was just amazing. And then just showing how much they care for each other was always nice. You know, they're detectives. They have the possibility of getting hurt, getting shot, dying. And there's a few episodes that I'll probably talk about later to help personify how just deep their relationship was. The next character we're going to talk about is Rosa Diaz, played by Stephanie Beatriz. First off, Stephanie Beatriz is an amazing actress. Holy cow. In real life, this lady is very bubbly. She's very just outgoing. She's very funny. She's very, I don't even know how to say it, but like, you know, she, I really don't know how to say it. She's just, like I said, she's a very bubbly person. And then her characterization for Rosa Diaz is, excuse my language, she's a badass. Leather jacket, she drives a motorcycle, you know, she's a good detective, she knows how to fight, it's insane, you know. And then she has like, she kind of has a voice like Raymond Holmes. She's like, yeah, I don't care, whatever. She has like a, like an F off personality, you know. And it's just crazy how the character and then Stephanie herself, how different Stephanie and Rosa are. You know, she's done interviews where she's, you know, she's talking all bubbly, she's talking all kind of girly, goofy, and then she instantly goes to Rosa Diaz, and it's just like, whoa, well, that was fast, that was insane, it was amazing. Her character development throughout the series was really interesting too, you know. She ends up becoming, or coming out as being bisexual, and it was enticing to see, you know. She comes from a Mexican family, and at one point her dad is played by Danny Trejo, I think. Yeah, her dad is played by Danny Trejo, to show that, you know, her family is Latino. And at first, you know, she tells her parents she comes out as being bisexual. Her dad comes up to her and he's like, hey, like, you know, I don't want this to ruin our relationship. Because she feels like it was going to. She felt like her parents would disapprove and then kind of basically disown her. But that wasn't the case. Her dad came up to her the next day and he's like, hey, mija, like, I love you. I want to figure things out with you. But her mom, it takes her mom just a little bit more time to kind of come to terms with, I guess, being okay with it. You know, and that was tough to see, but at the same time, it was moving, it was nice. And her mom does come around because it's her daughter. Rosa Diaz is just a badass. Like I said, leather jacket, motorcycle, and on top of that, she's an amazing detective. She's butt heads with Jake, you know, Jake being, you know, super pop culture, super funny, stuff like that. There are times when, like, she scares him and he's like, right, you're right, okay, I'm sorry. But at the same time, she always has his back. She always has Amy's back, his back, the other detectives that I'm about to name. And she respects Captain Holt because of how similar they are in character. Excuse me, I need a sip. Excuse me. All right. Moving on to the next character. The next character is Charles Boyle, played by Joe Lo Truglio, I think that's how you say his name. I hope I didn't mess that up. Joe, if you're listening to that, I'm sorry. Charles Boyle is a spunky detective. He is Jake Peralta's best friend, but he always has to reassure himself that he's Jake Peralta's best friend. He's very jumpy. He gets nervous about stuff really fast. But he's also a really good detective. He's good at paperwork. And his outside character development is really good. He has to adopt a son throughout the series, and his love for this son is just, it's amazing to see, because, you know, you see him go through the hard times of being like, you know, he's not my real son, what if his real father wants to see him, and then he ends up liking, you know, his real dad more than me and stuff like that. And like he just wants to do good for his son. Another thing that's really cool about him is that he's really in tune when it comes to culinary arts. And I've always found that interesting. There's an episode where he buys a food truck and he gets so angry at Amy for cutting bread wrong. And his family's really quirky. He's very lovey. You know, he likes to let Jake know that he loves them. He has always been what's called a shipper for Jake and Amy's relationship, which means that he's always wanted it from the get-go. And you know, like I said, he's very quirky. He tries to act kind of like a badass. He tries to show Jake that he can be a badass, because Jake's favorite movie is Die Hard. And there are times, or there are episodes where he does it, but that he doesn't do it right, and it just makes it even better. There's an episode where him, Jake, and another character are at the mall trying to buy a present, and then the mall gets overrun by burglars, and Jake gets captured, and then but he's trying to make it seem like Die Hard, because it feels like Die Hard to Jake. But then Char, or Boyle, as he's known because they use their last names, Boyle comes in, and he totally messes up the John McClane line. And Jake Peralta's like, dude, that was so cool. You said it wrong, but that was so cool. And it was just a really funny episode. But yeah, Charles Boyle's character, you know, first off, I guess I didn't get to say this. When it comes to TV shows and movies, one of the things that I do is I try to cast myself. Like, who would I play if I was in the show, if I was in this movie? And in the show, my character would be Jake Peralta. I would love to play Jake Peralta. Getting back to Charles, he idolizes Jake. He cares about Jake. And I find that very nice to see, you know. It's just a beautiful sentiment, in my opinion. And their friendship has just always been cool. You know, sometimes Jake has friends from his past come up, and Charles Boyle gets jealous, or he's like, dang, like, this guy's too cool, like, I'm not cool enough, and this and that. Sorry, I popped my knuckles again. And I've always admired that, I guess. Or not admired, I've always just felt that as being heartwarming. You know, they just turned out to be really good friends, and they've always been there for each other, even though there's an episode where they end up fighting with each other. Alright, moving on. Next character is Terry Jeffords. He is a sergeant. He's played by Terry Crews. Really good character. You know, he's this big buff sergeant. And in the beginning of the series, you find out that he kind of turned into a scaredy cat because he ended up having twin baby girls. And it made him jumpy. And it made him nervous about being a cop because he didn't want to leave his two baby girls without a dad. You know, but then he kind of overcomes that fear thanks to Raymond, or thanks to Captain Holt. And you just see that he's just a badass sergeant. He's very in tune with his detective skills. He, you know, shows them that having the body mass and body weight that he has, the muscular physique of him, has to be earned. You know, you have to put the work in. He's a good sergeant. He knows how to bring the team together. He knows when to tell Raymond Holt, hey, back off the team, they're doing their best. But he also knows when to tell the team, hey, you got to pick it up. He's a coach, basically. But he's also, but with that comes being a sergeant. One of the funny things about him is that he really loves yogurt, and that helps him, you know, gain muscle and just be more proactive as he's progressing. You see him talking about getting older and just liking older things. One of the things that I found interesting, there's an episode where he makes a painting of Captain Holt. Excuse me. And you actually find out that he's a painter in real life in an interview. But he plays Terry Jeffords really well. You know, Terry Jeffords being a father and then also being a sergeant in the NYPD. You know, you see the character dynamic of, I could die right now. I could die the next day, but I don't want to leave my daughters. But at the same time, the people of New York, you know, I want to help them. So you see, like, the little struggle that he has, but then he always comes out on top. He always has his detective's back. They always have his back. They don't want anything to happen to him, especially for his girls. They want what's best for his girls. And I find that awesome, you know, considering his characterization. And then from what I heard in an interview, the creators made this character specifically for Terry Crews, and it took him a while, you know, to say yes, because he just thought it was like, oh, they just want me for my physique, for my muscles. But finding out that it was yes, about his muscles, but it was also about, you know, him as a person, he accepted. And I thought that was really cool. You know, it wasn't just about him being, you know, muscular, being fit. It was about him being a person who takes care of themselves physically, and then going through the mental stages of trying to become better. I've always liked that. We're going to move on to the two characters who have kind of been in the background, but as the show progresses, they become more involved. It's Detective Hitchcock and Detective Scully, and they're played by Dirk Blocker, who plays Hitchcock, and Joel McKinnon Miller, who plays Scully. These two guys are just hilarious. They are older, or they are probably the oldest detectives in the precinct. They're very lazy. They're always hungry. If they're not eating, they're sleeping, or they're talking about something on their body that's just a little gross. But their friendship is just really funny. There's an episode where it takes them back to the 80s, and you find out that they were two badasses. And then it's like, how did y'all become these lackadaisical people? Anyways, getting back to it. Sorry, I needed to stretch. I'm gonna get some more coffee. So getting back to it, Hitchcock and Scully, like I said, back in their prime, if you will, I put air quotes in that, they used to be total badasses, and now the whole precinct is like, here, give them the paperwork stuff just so they can sit at their desk, because that's what they enjoy. They enjoy just sitting on their desks, eating food, kind of just basically relaxing. And like I said, in the beginning, they're kind of in the background, and then they become more involved as the show goes on. And then you see that their knowledge and sometimes just their characterization is needed to the rest of the squad. You know, they look at them and they're like, oh, you're so gross, and oh, stop eating, and oh, stop sleeping. But then later on, it's like, I need to take it easy. Hitchcock, how do I do this? Scully, how do I do this? Detective Scully is actually a really good opera singer. And throughout the series, you see him singing some opera music, which is really cool to see. Detective Hitchcock, he's just all around a good guy, you know, and their comedy dynamic, their comedy duo, their friendship is just uncanny. It's just really funny, and it makes me think of friendships that I've had. There's not really much to talk about with them, though, but like I said, they're you need them in the show. You cannot have Brooklyn Nine-Nine without Hitchcock and Scully. All right. So this next character is the last character that I would consider a quote-unquote main character, because her name was in the opening sequence, which is, you know, the song and the showing which actors are in the show, stuff like that. This character's name is Gina Linetti. Whoa, where's IMDb? And she is played by Chelsea Peretti. First off, the first thing I want to say about Chelsea is that her and Andy Samberg have been friends since they were kids. She used to have a small crush on him, and as Andy Samberg got more popular, he kind of brought Chelsea with him, and she's also made a name for herself. So she wasn't just riding his coattails or anything like that. He just brought her to show the world, like, hey, this is my friend. She's also very funny. Like, give her a chance, and she'll prove it to you. And she did. I think she has a few stand-ups, and her character, Gina Linetti, she plays the office manager, I think. She's basically Captain Holt's, like, assistant. She takes the phone calls, she transfers them, she files the paperwork and stuff like that. And then she becomes, like, an influencer. What's funny about it is, showing my family the show, my little sister, I don't want to say worships, but she idolizes Gina Linetti. Gina Linetti is just, she's kind of full of herself, I'm not gonna lie. She thinks she's better than everybody. But there are times when, like, she shows her hardship and she shows how much she actually cares about the squad. But most of the time she's like, well, you know, it's because I'm a badass. Like, I'm sorry that I'm so cool. I'm sorry that I'm so dope. But you just need to put some work into it. And it's just like, it's funny. And then my little sister, like I said, kind of idolizes that because she feels the same way. Sorry about that. I just popped my ankle. Gina Linetti's character development, you know, was just always fun to see. You know, she was very in tune with social media, with what's popping. She was always ahead of the curve, if you will, when it comes to that stuff. You know, she knew things about famous people or celebrities that the rest of society didn't know yet. And I found that really cool. But her relationship with Jake Peralta, you know, they were the best friends. in real life. And then in the show, it showed that they were still best of friends. From what I remember, Jake Peralta got her the job at the NYPD. You know, she's always in tune with kids, or like with the younger kids that walk the streets of New York and stuff. There's an episode where her, Rosa Diaz, and Amy Santiago are trying to talk kids into becoming, or talking kids into thinking about joining the NYPD. Amy Santiago goes about it wrong. Rosa Diaz tries to be like, you know, I was a tough kid too, this, this, and that. And sometimes you need discipline. And the kids are like, nah, you're lying. And then Gina Linetti comes in, gives them a whole lovey-dovey speech. And then they're like, boo, like, you suck, and blah, blah. But then she's like, here's the perks. You get this much money. You get these kind of benefits. Who wants to sign up? And then all the kids are like, whoa, I do. That's a lot of money. You know, so she's always been in tune with that kind of thing. And I've always found that, I found that entertaining. You know, she was really cool. Sadly, she left the show. I'm not 100% sure why, but her character development throughout the show is just really cool. And again, you just see that her and Jake Peralta's friendship has always been true. You know, she played her character well, especially when it came to Jake Peralta. Oh man, I feel like I have to sneeze. All right, now that's the cast, you know, that's been in the opening credits. We're going to get into side characters that I've just always liked. The first one that we're going to get into, his detective name was Adrian Pimento, played by Jason Mantzoukas. I don't even think I said that right. But Jason, he's a really funny actor. He's been around for a while, but he's always played like side characters. But in this show, he played a guy named Adrian Pimento who was... he was undercover with the mob for a very long time, and then when he finally came out, you know, he came back as a detective, but he still had the personality traits of being undercover, which is tough to do because he was undercover for years. You know, he had to do stuff for the mob. You know, he was talking about how he's had to actually, and he got a little graphic, and they didn't show any of this graphic, but the way he was talking about it got graphic. He's like, well, I had to take out a heart of this guy, and blah, blah, and, you know, he's laughing about it, and then he turns into a cry. He's like, because it was so traumatizing to him, you know, and I found that entertaining. You know, like I said, he's a funny actor. He played his character so well. He was always wide-eyed. He was crazy. You know, apparently he would scream in his sleep. But he always wanted what was best for the squad, which is why there are some episodes where he's just like, I gotta go, like, this isn't right for you guys, I'm sorry. Especially because the mob was like, we need to kill this guy because he ratted us out. Excuse me. So yeah, his characterization was really good. He had a relationship with Rosa Diaz. It didn't last long because, like I said, he had to leave, but it was funny because they dressed the same, they acted the same, but then you see that Pimento had his mental issues when it came to, like, nervousness and just not always, not feeling right for her because of his past. And I've always, like I said, I've always just really loved his characterization. And the next character that we're going to go into, the next side character, if you will, is Kevin Costner, played by Mark Evan Jackson. So Kevin plays Captain Holt's, Captain Raymond Holt's husband in the show. He talks like Holt, you know, very military, very just like monotone, like, oh, this, this, and that, whatever, okay, bye, whatever. He was a college professor, and what was cool about it is, like, it showed his relationship with Captain Holt. It showed, like, his other side of Captain Holt. You know, at work, Captain Holt was always, like I said, he was stern. You know, he was like, let's get on this, come on, guys, this, this, and that. But then at home, he's like, Kevin, you know, I made you some breakfast. And it's like, whoa, like, he did something nice instead of just being like, do this for me now. You know, so it was really cool to see, and it always showed how much he cared about Kevin. There was a few episodes. There was one episode where Kevin was being targeted by an assassin or something like that, and Raymond kind of went overboard trying to protect him, but again, it just shows how much he cared about Kevin. This next person makes me think of my friend Joe. For those of you who have been with me since the beginning of this podcast, I've had Joe on my show 2 times. When we talked about our tattoos from Tombstone, and when we talked about Fiesta. This next character used to go by the name the Pontiac Bandit. He used to steal cars and, you know, just sell them on the side for more money than they were worth. And Jake Peralta could never catch him. He could never find him. So they had that kind of relationship where it was like, oh, like, you suck and blah, blah. And it's like, nah, Jake, like, you just can't catch me. And then they ended up becoming frenemies. And you find out later on that his actual name is Doug Judy. And he is played by, I just had his name too, Craig Robinson. And again, first off, really good characterization. He's a funny guy. He's very lackadaisical. He's kind of like, he has that I don't give a F attitude because he used to be a con man, you know, and he was always shown to be one step ahead of Jake, which bugged Jake so much because he feels like he's a really good detective. But he always seemed to outdo him, and they ended up growing this like weird special bond from time to time, because then Doug Judy started coming around and being like, nah, like, let me help Jake real quick, like, what I did was wrong, let me fix it and stuff like that. And he's helped Jake a couple of times. And seeing their frenemy relationship grow was always fun to see. But the way he acts makes me think of Joe. I've shown Joe a couple of episodes that include the Pontiac Bandit, Doug Judy. And again, it's just like, I'm Jake, Joe is Doug Judy. It's insane. Like I said, I have this thing, and I bring my friends along into it. I bring my family. I'm like, hey, who would you play? Or who do you think you are in this show? Who do you think this? And, you know, Joe agrees. He's Doug Judy. And, you know, he's just a really funny guy. And like I said, as the show progresses, you just see his relationship with Jake Peralta just kind of blossom and do things. There's an episode where Jake and Amy go on a cruise, and it's the beginning of the relationship because they were invited. Turns out they were invited by Doug Judy because he felt like he was being targeted. Turns out it was true. But Jake was like, you're not getting away from me. Like, I'm going to take you to jail. Doug Judy ends up escaping. But as he's escaping, he tells Jake, he's like, look, I did this for you. I got you this free ship. Like, just go have fun with your girl. Because Amy Santiago is getting a little irritated because Jake was like, no, I need to watch Doug Judy this whole time. And she's like, but we're on a cruise, babe. Like, we have all these activities we could do. And Jake Peralta sees that. After Doug Judy leaves, he's like, dang, Doug Judy was right. Like, I need to focus on Amy. And they end up having a blast. And again, it's just, like I said, Doug Judy cracks jokes about Jake. And you just see their friendship, their frenemyship, whatever you want to call it. It just blossoms into something more. Because Doug Judy will help Jake fight off a bigger threat. And then at one point, it seems like he's about to stab Jake in the back, and it's just like, no, but then he comes back and he's like, nah, I got you, bro, like, don't worry about it. And it's just like, wow, like, that was nice of him. So those are the characters. This show has had so many side characters that are played by, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, not side characters, but they've had so many cameos, if you will. Adam Sandler pops out in an episode. You have Nick Cannon. Eva Longoria comes out. I'm trying to think of who else. You have Gina Gershon, Fred Armisen. You just have so many amazing actors that get shown in this show. Jamal Duff. It's just a really good show. Like I said, you have all of these other great actors that come out in the show showing that they can do comedy, because sometimes they're playing more serious characters in movies and TVs of today. Just like I said, this show is just, it's a really funny show. I would recommend giving it a chance. Right now, I'm going to go into more of the storyline of the show, episodes and stuff like that, before I finish up here. One of the things is that this show made me feel like I could become a detective. Looking at Jake Peralta, like I said, he went to school and stuff like that. He went through training and all that stuff. But his characterization just, in my opinion, personifies me. He's very quirky. He's in tune with entertainment of today, and there are moments when it's just like, holy cow, like, I act like him that time. My mom said it, my little sister said it, my girlfriend has said it. So many people in my life have said, you are Jake Peralta. And I love that. I do like his character. Andy Samberg played him really well. One thing that I found interesting is that it is a crime show, and something that I found that was cool is that the actors and actresses went through police training so they could get the mannerisms of police officers. You know, they went through training when it comes to shooting guns, training when it comes to arresting people, taking down bad guys, stuff like that. And I found that interesting. And it did make me want to become a detective. Now I'm going to go into some of my favorite episodes. And again, huge spoiler alerts for all of this stuff. Before I get into my favorite episodes, give me 1 second. I need to go check something. Sorry about that. I had to go check my coffee. I had to go get a refill. So, couples goals. Jake Peralta and Amy Santiago are my ultimate couples goals. Underneath them, I would say, is Andy and April from Parks and Rec, but Jake Peralta and Amy Santiago just take the cake. Like I said, their character development throughout the show, their relationship development throughout the show, has just always been kind of an inspiration, and it's shown that finding somebody who has, excuse me, different points of views, but at the same time, they're not so different, is the person that you should be looking for. You know, Jake, you know, like I said, is very kind of lackadaisical. He was, in the beginning, he was irresponsible with money, he was irresponsible with cleanliness. Whereas Amy Santiago is like on point about everything. Everything needed to be clean. Everything needed to be organized. Everything needed to be right. And there are some episodes where it showed what Jake was willing to do to keep Amy Santiago, which I thought was really cool. And the same thing with Amy. You know, one of the things was them talking about moving in together and whose apartment they would share. Jake, of course, wanted his. Amy wanted hers. Jake's was filthy. It was dirty. It was nasty, whereas, again, Amy's was clean, it was organized, stuff like that. So they had a bet. They had in the episode, you have a bunch of escaped convicts, and I think it was like 12, and their bet was whoever caught the most convicts, you know, the loser had to move in with them. At the very end, they arrest, excuse me, well, they corner the last guy, and they're about to arrest him, but they're reading the Miranda rights. And they're trying to say it at the same time. They're saying it as fast as they can. And at one point, Jake stops. And Amy's like, what are you doing? And he's like, you win. Let's move into your apartment. And it's just, like I said, it's kind of inspiring to see the couple dynamic that they went through. They have a whole deal where they talk about having kids. And the differences between them, they have like a little debate about it. And in that episode, you know, Jake's against it because his father was hurtful to him when he was a kid, and he was afraid that he was going to end up like his father. Amy wanted kids because she just kind of wanted babies. They have a whole debate, and then it upsets Amy, and Jake doesn't know what to do. And I think, no, in this episode, they're in the hospital, and then the bomb threat happens in the room that they were watching this guy. He was a suspect, and they were waiting for him to wake up to question him. And Jake goes into the room, and there's this woman in there who's a resident of the hospital, and she's holding a bomb, and she's threatening to blow it up because the mob told her, like, if she did it, they would save her son, whatever. As that's happening, you know, Amy Santiago gets worried about Jake. She's like, no, like, I don't want him to die, and this and that. But then Jake comes to the realization of, like, I could have died really bad today. You're right about having kids. Let's do it. You know, and it's very moving, and it was very nice to see. You know, and just, like I said, going through the series, you just see the different things that they have both done for each other. You know, he would read books for her, she would watch movies for him, she would listen to songs for him, and their quirkiness was just great. The episode where they have their wedding, I don't know why, it's funny to me, but they have a bomb threat at their wedding. So they are getting upset because the venue gets shut down and all this stuff. And then at the end, they end up having the wedding outside the precinct. And during their vows, you know, Jake Peralta's like, I love you for this, I love you for that. And then he's kind of like, I don't know what else to say. And he's like, okay, I'm done. And then Amy Santiago is like, but I got to say, there's a bomb. And Jake Peralta's like, what? And she's like, it's your butt. Your butt's the bomb. And again, it's just like a joke that Jake would say, but she said it for him because she knew it would put a smile on his face. And I've always liked that dynamic. So they are extreme couple goals. Another thing that I've liked about them is how competitive they are with each other, you know. And I'm about to get into that with some of my favorite episodes because of their competitiveness. So let's jump into the favorite episodes. First off, all-time favorite episodes have to be their Halloween episodes because they have an annual Halloween heist to see who's the better detective. As the show progresses, you find out that they change it to where who's the better person slash genius, because Gina Linetti wins a heist, but she's not a cop or a detective. And my all-time favorite episode, I believe it's Halloween 4, maybe 5. I think it's 5. Let me just verify real quick. Yes, it's Halloween, because the V is capitalized to indicate that it's the 5th one. Everybody's trying to win this belt, and at the end, Jake Peralta ends up asking Amy Santiago to marry him. It's a very moving episode. It's very funny. And it's just, like, it's all around just a really good episode. You know, there's that. The finale of the show was just done so creatively, so well. It's just a really good ending to the show. I was really sad to see it go. Like I said, I teared up, I'm not going to lie. I know that might seem silly to some, but it is what it is. That's what I do. I get invested into these shows, these movies, these characters. I cannot help it. That Halloween episode is my all-time favorite. When they ask him, like, what made him choose that decision, because in the beginning of that season, he was in jail. They asked him at the end of that episode, the Halloween heist episode, what made him come to the decision to marry her. And it shows this little cutscene where him and Amy are laying in bed, and she gasps. She gasps because she's doing a crossword puzzle, and Jake's on his phone. And she goes, oh my God, there's a typo in this crossword puzzle. And he looks up from his phone, and he looks at her, and he just smiles. And everybody's like, that's kind of weird. And he's like, hey, like, I just kind of knew. You know, and I've always found that very lovey. My next favorite thing about the show, it's called the Cold Open. They have an opening scene, and then it's the opening credits, and then it's the rest of the show. This cold open has been a hit since it aired, and I'm pretty sure people have heard of it, have seen it, have known about it. In this cold open, Jake Peralta is with this woman, and she has a lineup of suspects that she's trying to decipher who came in and killed her brother. So he's like, do you recognize any of them? She's like, no, I didn't see them. I was laying down on the floor, hiding. But I heard them. They were singing the song that was at the bar. And he was like, do you know what song? She was like, I think it's I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. So then he tells the first suspect to sing the opening line of I Want It That Way. So he's like, you are my fire. And then he goes, number two, keep it going. And then number two is my one desire. And then he goes, number three, believe when I say, and number four. And then number four is like, I want it that way. And then Jake hits the button. He's like, tell me why. And then all five of them are singing the song, you know. Ain't nothing but a heartache. Tell me why. Ain't nothing but a mind. And then he goes, I think I sang that wrong, I'm sorry. But then he goes, and number five, I never want to feel this way. I want it that way. And they, like, he's like, oh my God, like, that was amazing. And then she comes back and she's like, it was number five. Number five's the one that killed my brother. And he's like, oh my God, I completely forgot about this. And it's just all around a funny, cold opening. It just really is. But, you know, I'm about to hit 50 minutes of this episode because this show just means a lot to me. I have bought every season on iTunes. I have watched every show. I know everything about it. I continue to rewatch it because of everything I just described. You have the characters, you have the character developments, the production of the show. Like I said, going through training to actually portray cops the right way was always nice. And then it's just a damn good show. I recommend it to so many people. Whenever people are on Instagram or on Snapchat and they're like, hey, I need a new show, that's the first thing I suggest. Because while it is known, sometimes it's unknown. You know, it took my girlfriend a while before she actually started watching it. And she just finished it and she told me that she teared up at the very last episode because of how good the show was. You know, like I said, you get invested into these characters. And it's not just this show, it's any show you watch, any movie you watch. It's just that with this show, like I said, I got deeply invested because of Jake Peralta's personality, his mannerisms, his mindset, everything. The way he is the way I am, I feel. I could be wrong, but I have been told that I act, and I am him, and I honestly love that, because Andy Samberg played him so well, you know. So if you haven't seen the show, give it a chance. Look for those episodes I talked about. You know, I'm sorry for spoiling some of them. I cannot help it. This show is just so good. And then anytime you watch a show, look at that point. Dig deeper, you know. Something that I heard a while back is like, we watch the same shows over and over again because we know how it's going to end, so we don't have to be surprised by anything. If this is a show that you haven't seen, give it a chance. You might end up liking it. That's what I have been doing for a while now. Every now and then, I will rewatch a show entirely, but if it's not, I'm going to watch a show just to watch it, you know, to see if I can get into it, because there could be twists and turns, there could be alternate endings, whatever, but you have to try new things. And that's what when I first started this show, at first I was like, nah, this is boring. But then I gave it a second try and boom, instantly loved it. Give it a chance. Give anything a chance. I'm going to end this episode with the way they end, not end, but the way they talk, or a chant that they do in the show. And it was the last line said by Terry Jeffords of the last episode, the show finale. They ask Terry, are you ready? And he yells out, 9-9! So, thank you for listening. I did forget to say this. This is season 3, episode 1. But everything about this show is just amazing. Give it a chance, alright? You know, here's a little cheers from me. Enjoy your coffee, enjoy your morning. And I will come back Sunday. All right? Bye, everyone.